Right, I'm just getting my stuff sorted. Bear with me. Could we maybe look into getting a huge, massive, huge lectern? Like, crazy big. No, that's right. That'd be funny. One that comes up from the floor. No, sorry. No.
Actually, one that descends from heaven.
Yeah, descends from heaven. Wow. Sparkles. No. No, that's going too far. Well, very good morning to you. My name's Andy. I'm the minister here at Wootton Baptist Church. And I know we said a huge welcome to visitors. Another warm welcome to all of you visitors again. It's lovely to see you here with us. So we are wrapping up our little sermon series. If we can have the first slide, please. Thank you very much. So the one you had. Who are we? And what for? Who are we? And what for? For his glory, be holy, is the message this morning. So for his glory, be holy. And his, Jesus, clearly, Jesus. For Jesus' glory, we should be set apart and be holy. Amen. Right, in some ways, that's kind of it, isn't it? But let's pray before... Well, I'm going to lead us in a prayer before we delve a little bit deeper into that notion of for his glory be holy. So let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that we are here again together as your people. And Lord, we're all at different stages of seeking, of discerning, of knowing you. Maybe some of us have known you for a long time. Maybe some of us have been attending church for a long time, but perhaps don't know you as well as maybe we should. And for some, maybe we have lots of doubts, lots of questions, lots of what on earth is going on? Why am I here this morning? What is this really all about? Faith. Jesus, well, who are you? And everybody else that hasn't been mentioned in those categories or overviews, we're here this morning to hopefully know you that little bit more, to be transformed and changed, to become more like you. Thank you, Jesus, that you truly are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Saviour, Almighty. You are holy and yet so close as well. You're not a distant and removed God. We don't have to earn our right to appease you or anything like that. We come simply as sinners together. And when we accept you as Lord and Saviour, we are welcomed in to your family. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Okay, so you have your Bibles. If you haven't, you may access it on your phones or devices. We do have a couple of Bibles. Thank you to the team. And if you would like to have a physical Bible to look at, to engage, please just pop your hand up and somebody will bring a Bible to you. Great. Okay, so turn with me to Galatians 5 and verse 1. Thank you very much. So Galatians 5 and verse 1. Now there's this expression, freedom in Christ. Have you heard that before? There's actually a freedom in Christ course, a bit like an alpha course, if you've heard of alpha courses before. But freedom in Christ, well, what does that actually mean? To be free in Christ. Well, I would suggest that these verses give a really good understanding of what it is to be free in Christ. So I'm just going to go through these. So Galatians 5 verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 reads, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, yes, who said that? Yeah, come on. Yes.
There is freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Wow. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, then turn to John 8, 36. John 8, verse 36. And it reads here. "So if the Son sets you free," the Son being Jesus Christ, "you will be free indeed." Wow. I think there's a theme going on here. Romans 8, verses 1 to 2. Romans 8, verses 1 to 2. There's a lot of Bible backwards and forwards here, but it's good. It's good to do. It's easier maybe on a device. You just click it. Romans 8, 1 to 2. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Wow, come on. It's great. Okay, and then Ephesians 3, 12. Ephesians 3, 12. If you're following along, Ephesians 3, 12. "In him," as in Jesus, "and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Wow. Wow. We can go to the next slide, please. So freedom in Christ. There's so much freedom that we have when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Now that is always going to be a choice. I said before, we don't have to like pay a subscription. Give us your money and then you get more revelation until you are completely rinsed of all money, but you may have a little bit of wisdom. Or you have to earn your right to appease this God. It's in your strength and your strength alone. It's not about that. We do have to make a choice to, one, recognize that we are a sinner, as in we're not perfect, that there is something inherently evil in us. We may be lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, murdering, whatever it may be, sin is sin. And that's the fall of humanity. Sin entered the world. God is a God of wrath, justice, holy. But he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each and every one of us. No matter what we've done, no matter how sinful we have been, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, the perfect, spotless lamb that was led to slaughter, that atoning sacrifice, so that we can then be forgiven, saved, and have that right relationship with God to appease God's wrath. Not in our strength, but because of Jesus. The blood that he shed, the atoning sacrifice, once and for all. Now, what's our choice? We have to recognize that we are in need of a savior. And actually, that for a lot of people is a stumbling block. Well, I'm fine. I've got a healthy balance. I've got this great job. I'm absolutely fine. I'm sorted. I don't need anybody else or anything else. Because in my strength, from my strength alone, I'm sorted. And that is often where it's a stumbling block. But we just have to recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior and surrender to him. That doesn't mean that we become pansy, nothing. Yeah, I love my life and then I became a Christian and I go to church. No! It's not about that. It's about that being transformed from the inside out because of Christ and his love and his ways. So freedom in Christ. We still have free will. Yes, we do. We can still choose to go and get absolutely hammered at the pub. We can still choose to watch disgusting films. We can still choose, etc., etc., etc. God doesn't remove that choice. We don't become robots and all, yes, we will do what we're told. Yes, I'm now a Christian. Yes, I have to fall in line. Yes, I must read the Bible. Yes, I must sing this song. Yes. That's not what faith is. We don't become like that. I hope we don't become like that. That would be scary and freaky and weird, in all honesty. Run a mile. We're all uniquely different and wonderfully made. We all have different abilities. We've talked about this in the last few weeks. We all have something that we can offer. Now, you might think, oh, I can't do anything. I'm not like that. I'm such a sinner. I'm awful. I keep failing. I keep messing up. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, look, I failed again. And we end up kind of like walking around thinking, oh, look at all my sin in my life. I was chatting to somebody on the phone yesterday. It's like, do we focus on all the poo? Like, we go for lovely walks around here, stunning, beautiful areas, but the dog poo. Who has dogs here? Right, sort out the poo. Goodness me. I end up walking around, you end up not even seeing the wonderful, beautiful views because you end up so focused on where the dog poo is. It's like, where's the dog poo? Oh. But in life, are we actually so focused on our own failings that we become all heavy and burdensome and like, oh, woe is me? And then actually, we just need to lift our eyes to Jesus. Sounds so simple, but it can be so hard to accept that Jesus loves us. To accept that Jesus wants to be in a living relationship, despite our faults, despite our failures. It's not in our strength. A key difference. I've given my life to Jesus. He is a holy, holy God. But I'm now in right relationship with my Heavenly Father. Wow. I'm saved. I've been forgiven. Yes, I am still struggling with X, Y, and Z. But it's not in my strength. It's in Jesus' strength. That is a fundamental, humongous difference when we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. So, are we choosing to build up or are we choosing to tear down? So, freedom in Christ isn't a license to do whatever we want, although we could, the choice is still there. It's a call to edify others. Actions should be evaluated by whether they build up the faith of fellow believers, especially those who may be weaker in conscience. Sounds a bit harsh, isn't it? Maybe weaker in conscience. I think really that's just saying, for those who are new to faith, for those who may be unsure of certain outworkings or practices, or for those who may have had such a way of outworking faith, being brought up in a certain religion, a certain context, a certain expectation from parents or teachers online or whatever it may be, who is Jesus Christ? What is the gospel message? And so it's that rewiring. It's learning to live almost again. It's a new life, which is why we say we get born again. Not physically born again. In the Bible, there's an interaction. What? How can I come out again? I'm already an adult. Now, you don't get physically born again, but spiritually born again. It's a new life. It's a new perspective on the landscape in which we live in. It's been able to go, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's not always easy. But that's about being holy. That's following Christ as Lord and Saviour. Next slide, please. I haven't got the clicker. I always get it wrong anyway with the clicker. So who are we becoming like? Hopefully, more like Jesus, the God of the Bible, and everything that we're called to be. But be holy, because I am holy. What is that? So something that we can sometimes do. Who are we when we're at school, with our finances, when we go shopping, what gets put in the shopping basket or online? Late at night, scrolling through, I just popped that in. What have I bought? How do we communicate with others? How do we share meals with one another? What are we like at home? Who are we as a mum and dad if we have kids? Who are we as a son or daughter if we have parents? Etc., etc., etc. We don't want to be a cause for anybody to stumble. That's not what we want to do, hopefully. But how can we choose to be set apart, to be in the world, but not of the world? I mean, this is a whole conversation. But actually, for some of us, we could quite happily go to the pub and have a couple of pints. Great. No problem. It's not going to result in getting absolutely drunk and then swearing and doing all sorts of stuff. But for others, it may be a big, how can you be a Christian, but you go to the pub and you have a pint? And actually, even if, because I don't drink alcohol now, because being a former borderline alcoholic, I've just chosen not to. I can have one or two, but I've gone, no, just don't. But even a non-alcoholic pint in a pub, it's got no alcohol, from a distance, it's like real beer. They don't know me, they don't know I'm not drinking alcohol, they don't know my story. But people do observe. People are watching. Now, I'm not saying don't have any beer at all, full stop, don't go to pubs, don't do this, don't do that. But it's going, are we aware of how we are representing the God of the Bible? What does that look like? I'll stop there because there's a whole thing about foods and the Bible and what people are eating, and then we've got freedom to eat whatever, but some of the temple idol gods, the meat, weren't supposed to be eaten the meat that was sacrificed to the temple gods, especially in Ephesus, and it was a horrible cesspit of an environment. But then it was like, actually, now we're free. We can eat this food. But then there was a conversation about, but why are you eating that food? Because that food is from being sacrificed to the idols. It's been, that kind of conversation. And so it's being aware that for some, it doesn't quite make sense. But how can you be a Christian when you're eating that or drinking that or doing this or smoking here or whatever it may be? It's being aware of that conversation. It's being aware of who we are, what we subscribe to, what does our bank balance say about us, to which companies, to who do we place our trust, who do we buy into, what corporations, etc., 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 etc. Is there a filter that says, is this giving honour to God? It's a great filter to have. Next slide, please. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to a power that works in us, To him be glory in the church by Jesus, Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. For the glory of God, for others' salvation. So who are we created to be? Next slide, please. Thank you. That's not Andrew. Andrew here, if you don't know, is a very keen walker across mountains, across rivers. He goes above and beyond. He sees. No, sorry. Andrew is a keen walker, but that's not him. But the narrow path. Who are we really created and called to be? Is it about, we've got a ticket to heaven? Way! Do what I want. I can carry on. But I'm going to go to heaven. That's great. Is it just one wild party? Oh, entertain me. I want that spiritual high, that buzz, buzz, buzz. I said before, haven't I? It's like people seek the spiritual injection almost of the Holy Spirit, the buzz, the wow. And then you slump. Ooh. Wow, ooh, wow, ooh, wow, wow. It's like this constant. Is that healthy? No. May I suggest it's not healthy. God is a God of consistency. He's a God of love and does not change. It's not a roller coaster, seesaw with God. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be encountering the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But let us walk that narrow path, which is about getting your sleeves rolled up, reading scripture, praying, discerning, going, how are my actions really giving glory to God? I need so much more of Jesus. Recognizing the real truth contained in scripture, to be able to discern the frauds out in the world. Many, many false teachers. Many, many deceptive voices. Many people, many organizations are speaking just a little bit of truth, but with a whole host of deceptions. How are we going to know the truth? Get to know the truth. Spend time in God's word. Spend time praying, discerning, going deeper in scripture, going deeper in prayer, worshipping, giving God the glory and the honour, being accountable to each other. The more we focus on the God of the Bible, the more we would recognise the God's not of the Bible. We've got to know the truth, which will then help shape and inform our practices and who we are. But going back to the basics, next slide, please. Holiness. Holiness. What does that even mean? Holiness. Next slide, please. Will that get tiring? Next slide, please. If you look at 1 Peter 1:15 to 16, holiness. Really a summary of these couple of verses. It's a powerful call to holiness. Peter urges believers to reflect the character of God in their daily lives. We've just been talking about that. In the daily lives. Be holy in all you do, just as God is holy. Christians are called to live lives that are morally pure, set apart, and aligned with God's standards. What are God's standards? Check it out in the Bible. Wow, God doesn't speak to me. What do you check out the Bible? If you can't read, there are audio Bibles. If you struggle to see, there's Braille Bibles. There's a whole host of Bibles. And if you're really, really, really stuck, then we can record a Bible for you. We'll do it. We'll just do it. We'll sit there and we'll do something. The Bible is available to us all. There's no excuses. No excuses. Well, I'm a bit too busy to read the Bible. Really? You're a bit too busy to understand the truth and how we should live in that work life. Wow. Okay. Holiness isn't limited to religious rituals. It should permeate every aspect of life, thoughts, actions, relationships, and choices. Oh, but Andy, what if I've made a wrong choice and I'm stuck with it? I've got myself in a situation, I know it's wrong, but I can't really get out of it now. Well, by God's love, grace, and mercy, with humility and honesty and transparency, surrender afresh at the foot of the cross and go, Jesus, I recognize I've done this wrong, but please help me in my situation and help me to get through. Help me out of this mess. Or actually, give me the love and grace enabled to navigate through this mess I'm in. Help me to be rewired for your glory. The heart of the message, well, God's nature is holy. And his people are called to mirror that holiness in everything they do. Again, you peel back the layers. And in Leviticus chapter 17, you've got the 16 is about the atonement. 17, there's a phrase called the Holy Code. Next slide, please. The Holy Code. What is the Holy Code? Is there such a code that exists mathematically, scientifically? What is that? Well, actually, the Holy Code. Next slide, please. It's a word, kadash. I hope I've said that correctly. Beverly will let me know. Beverly knows Hebrew pretty well. Kadash, usually translated as holy, this is from Leviticus 17. However, that word originally meant to be set apart. To be set apart. Interestingly, when you look at Leviticus 16, well, 1 to 16, being set apart, that holiness was much more geared or aimed towards the priests or the kind of those carrying out the worship. But then from 17 onwards, that word set apart switched a bit. It changed its focus to more of the nation of Israel. Very interesting. The body, the collective. The holiness code also uses a noticeably different choice of vocabulary. Repeating phrases such as, I, Yahweh, am holy. I am Yahweh and I am Yahweh who makes you holy. In quite an unusually large number of times. Additionally, Leviticus 17 begins with, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded saying. So there's that holy code there that you can look back to in Leviticus 17. But it's really great to read Leviticus 16. In fact, the whole Bible, of course. But, okay, all right, Andy, this is all very nice. But really, Jesus. Next slide. Oh, it's just back then, sorry. Next slide. Well, Colossians 1, 15 to 20. The supremacy of Christ. Christ is described as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All things were created through him and for him. He holds all things together. He is the head of the church, and through his death, he reconciles all things to God. Next slide. Paul's ministry and the mystery of Christ. Paul speaks of the sufferings for the church and his mission to reveal the mystery of Christ. We haven't got all the answers. We have many understandings, nuances, a rich and deep book, holy book, to encounter, to engage, to wrestle, to grapple. We have not got all the answers at all. Jesus Christ has. He is the hope and salvation for all. His holiness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm sure there's a song there. His goal is to teach and encourage every believer toward what that looks like for those who haven't been journeying with us. We've been looking at what is it for now as a church? What is our mission? What is our mandate? Who are we as his people here in this place? And together as his body, gifted to give, shaped to. And I'm sorry, Lord, for being a part of that, where maybe I haven't quite lived what I profess. Lord, help all of us to not focus on the sin, the poo, but to lift up our countenance, our eyes, our hearts, our minds to you, author and perfecter of our faith. So, Lord, for those who may be on the sidelines thinking, nah, no way. This is a prayer that I would ask that you'll be bold to pray. Lord Jesus, I recognize you as Lord and Savior. I know that I am a sinner. I know that I keep messing up and I cannot continue anymore in my own strength. Jesus, may you come and be the Lord and Saviour in my life, in my heart. I know I need you and I trust you. Help me to know you. And the next prayer is for perhaps those who have ticked all the right boxes, come along to the different meetings, but that sense of wow hasn't been there for a long time. I ask maybe that you would consider praying a bold prayer, something along the lines of this. Jesus, here I am again. Jesus, I hear all these words, I sing all these songs. I know that I have been attending this, going to that. But that joy, that heart, that passion, the sense of wow, either has not been there or has been lost for whatever reason. Jesus, may you refresh the very being of who I am. Holy Spirit, may you help me to trust, to step out, to love you once again, Jesus. May you help me to see with fresh eyes, fresh heart, from real truth and a real surrender and passion for you and for your name. Lord, I want to have more joy in serving you. Not in a flippant way, but in a real deep and meaningful way. That deep joy. Lead me, I ask, to the fresh, living waters once again. And then the kind of next set of prayers, really, for those who, the tank is a bit empty. You're very aware that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour. But through different reasons, circumstances, disorientating dilemmas, given out, and you just feel a little bit, I'm exhausted. But you really do hunger and thirst for Christ and his righteousness. You love Jesus and you really want to know him more. May I suggest that you consider praying a bold prayer a bit like this. Jesus, I love you. I need you. I long to be with you. Jesus, test my heart. Know that it's for you. And come, fill me afresh with your love, grace, and mercy. May you open my eyes, my heart, my mind, my ears, my very being to who you are. Help me to accept your love, grace, and mercy. And may you use me as part of...
And then your glory came, and as a sign to you, that we would love the same. Our hearts will sing that song
just today.
Voices in unison, giving you thanks and praise, joined by the instruments, and then your glory. Your presence like a cloud upon that ancient day. The priests were overwhelmed because your glory came.
You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures.
And then your fire came.